Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. Live music, stand-up comedy, and buttloads of mangria. June 17th in Long Beach at D Piazza's. June 22nd in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company. And June 24th in Seattle, Washington at Showbox Soto Lounge. With special guest comedians and bands in every city featuring Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Plus, comedy from Matt Edgar. Tickets and more information are available online at CorollaDrinks.com. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour. In Seattle with Lynette Corolla and Ray Oldhopper. In Long Beach with Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills.
Standing in the backyard, looking for a tree to climb.
June 17th in Long Beach. June 22nd in Fresno. June 24th in Seattle. The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour with Loxy and Matt Edgar. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Doss, pass that scotch. Please.
You know what that means. It's episode number 72 of The Water Cooler. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Chris Loxamana, and just a reminder, this is the podcast, the sideshow of Resume, where I hang out with my Corolla Digital dudes and we talk about whatever we want. We have a couple drinks. No beer this week. We have a scotch. Is it Glenlivet? Is that just the way it's spelled? Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah. Glenlivet?
No.
Well, we have Glenlivet, 12-year. Thank you, Vinny Tortorich. And I love that stuff. It's quite delicious.
Vinny Tortorich comes through with the good, alcohol.
Yeah, well, he can't give us beer.
No.
To go against what he preaches. So yeah, he gives us the scotch. With me today, got the usual guys, minus one, plus one. Matt Fondelier is not here. Don't mean
what
to rhyme.
Plus one?
Plus one. We got Harlan Williams in studio, but we'll get into that
Jesus
in a sec.
Christ.
Matt Fondelier is not here. He is assisting Adam.
He could be here later.
Maybe. I told him to even call in. I'll be watching the lines. because Adam's just thinking, you don't have to go on that Resume podcast anymore. I'll just pull you in, you know, do whatever I want with you. And
that sounded really bad.
Matt has to listen. What are you talking about? Oh, your brain. Who's typing in there? Oh, it's Dylan Harland. So Matt is not here. We wish him the best. No Shea Fondelet, unfortunately. But please don't turn off the podcast just yet. I know Matt's not here, but we still got a lot of show, a lot of good show for you. With me today, I do have Kalen Bean.
What's up, fellas?
What is up, man? How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
I'm
talk about that because... I want an update on what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Gary Smith's here.
What up?
What up? The real Nick Davis.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. And Mike Dawson, of course.
Hello.
Hey, man. And Dylan is back from Bagelgate.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for
that. Sounds like Harlan Williams.
Yeah. I had at least a double digits with the tweets.
Really?
So did
yeah.
I.
Of
absolutely,
I saw multiple, but double digits.
Double digits, is Dylan related to Harlan Williams, or is Dylan Harlan Williams and he just can't give his real name? Kind of like how when Michael Jackson's on The Simpsons, you know, and he had to give a fake name. So it is Dylan. He does sound like Harlan Williams on Mike. I've never heard of it. I've never heard it. Like, I've known Dylan for a while, and I've never put that connection together. But
I was kidding. I don't hear it at all.
I don't either. But
me neither.
But I did get a lot.
I kind
of
hear it now. I don't know. All you listeners get into our head. And speaking of you listeners, before we get into the show, I do want to thank everybody who's written into the show, commented on iTunes. And every week I shall be reading a review on iTunes now. Because I like to hear what you guys have to say about the show. And this week I want to read a really nice iTunes review from Joe King Often. And it's J-O-E King. Woof, woof, rough, woof, rough, woof. Oh, woof, woof, rough. Woof, rough, rough, woof, woof, woof. Rough, woof, rough. So,
how many stars?
5 stars. Thank you. That was really sweet.
Heartwarming.
The dig at Gary was uncalled for, but thank you. And if you want us to read your review, just please leave it on resume and rate 5 stars, whatever you want.
It wasn't really a dig. He was just pointing out how Gary always has to make everything sexual.
Yeah, that was. I guess you're right. It depends what tone of voice.
Semantics.
I think you guys are reading too far between the lines.
But yeah, thank you, Joe King. Often appreciate the review. Now, Kalen, I had a hell of a week. Mm. But before we get into that, I want to hear, because I've heard you've had a hell of a month, maybe even longer. And
yeah, month sounds about right.
So we all remember, we all remember Kalen getting into or receiving an accident. He didn't even get into it. Like he was on the receiving end of it, and he got rear-ended by the guy on the motorcycle. And is it the sexual innuendos? Because Joe King is commenting on that, Gary.
I didn't do a thing.
I heard your snicker.
How dare you?
All right. and Kalen was rear-ended by the motorcyclist. And what's the update? What's going on with that?
Well, my car is currently in the shop. I took it in on Monday.
How bad is it?
$29.50 total damages. So actually not as bad as you... I thought it would be.
Just the trunk? Is that it? Nothing?
Parts and installation.
Mm.
But trunk, bumper, and taillight.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, nice.
I took it in on Monday, and this is the shop that they wanted me to go to. They said, can you take it to our guys? I said, yeah, sure. And they do not speak English very well. So I've had quite a difficult time getting in contact with them since then, just to see how the updates are going. Today is Thursday. They said it was going to be done by the end of the week, so I was hoping tomorrow. I didn't get a hold of the lady there the past 2 days, but I called her today. She said that the car is being worked on, and it might look like it'll be done Saturday instead.
Hey, all right. That's not bad.
Not bad.
See, every time I hear Ken on the phone, he looks super depressed. I can't get a hold of him. Oh, they're not speaking English.
Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little nervous about it because I thought they were trying to. Well, the other
thing that I've been dealing with through the week that you may have been hearing about was that I got a tax refund, and somehow somebody got a hold of the check that was sent to me. I got a call from the bank the other morning that said, hey, we have your tax refund here, and it's being cashed at one of our banks. Is this you? And I said, no, it's definitely not me. So I've been having to try to deal with the IRS since then.
They cashed it?
The bank didn't keep the check?
No, they didn't. They canceled the check. I said, that's not me. Cancel it. I don't know what happened there or who thought I'm just going to like cash someone else's check.
How hard is that to track, though? I mean, it goes into an account, so whoever set up the account, that's who...
You can just cash a check at a bank.
Oh, he's trying to cash it.
Usually you have to. Sometimes you have to have an account there, but if it's a check from the federal government, they'll cash
that.
And
it wasn't even my bank that I go to. It was Chase, and I'm City National.
Okay.
So, and then Chase just gave me a call.
Don't give out too much of your info now, man.
So I got to give the IRS a call back tomorrow and figure out what's going on there. I can't deal with their automated crap.
You're about to experience the great fun one can have in trying to communicate with the U.S. government.
I've been having fun all month, man.
Get ready, man.
Trouble with communications, just the story of May for me.
What do you suspect happened?
I have no idea.
Someone
went into my mailbox. But, you know, that my mailbox is very loose. So, like, I'm constantly having to, like, adjust the screws on it to get it to work again.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah, so I guess someone just opened it and saw that check in there.
You got to tell your landlord that shit immediately. Yeah. They need to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on him.
Yeah.
You can actually just email their maintenance department.
Yeah, that's what he's going to tell me to do.
I wonder, yeah, so that guy who took it knew the mailbox was loose probably, right? He probably planted that loose screw. Kind of like the credit card readers that you can just...
It's a bank, right? So you walk into the bank with a check, you try to cash it, they call me and go, there's someone here trying to cash this check, is it you? I go, no. So the dude at the bank, there's security cameras, they're like, hey, I mean, what is it? That's like fraud. I mean, would they just arrest the dude on the spot?
They should.
Like call the cops immediately.
There are cameras everywhere in a bank.
That's what I'm saying. I tried to call him back, but then I just got to Chase's home office. And I was like, I don't even know how to get through all this automated crap to track a phone call down that they gave me like a day ago.
Yeah. You'd think, I mean, I'm going to plug an old episode of Resume with Clay Toomey. He's a bank robber. And the way he robbed banks, it just seemed like very lo-fi, a little too easy. Like, how bad are bank security? Mm-hmm. Is bank security? Like,
well, I think that bank security is pretty high, but I think they have like a pretty high threshold for paying. Like, if I think, you know, the amount of money in the drawers, I'm sure they just instruct the tellers to give that over.
Oh yeah,
like so
he knew that too. Like the way he was saying it, he would just give him a letter that said, "Please give me all your 20s." Like, and he just it was small enough to where it didn't, you know, make a huge dent.
Right.
You, Kalen got the guy. He was going to pay you for the damage of the car.
Correct.
Maybe he's like, yeah, I'll pay you. And then he goes to your mailbox. And he just gestured.
Yeah, no, that man does not know where I live.
So. I've gotten that call before from the bank. I mean, it's saying, hey, are you in Japan right now buying children's clothes? That's a bank actually called me and asked me that.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so that's really awkward that it was. And no, I wasn't. And I don't know, the whole gas thing, every time I pay for things at a gas station, I pull the little reader just to make sure it isn't a fake one.
Everywhere.
I should do that everywhere, huh?
I do it everywhere.
Yeah.
ATMs especially.
What, take the receipt?
No. Like, you know the part where you, like, stick your card in and pull it out really fast?
Yeah.
They, like, criminals have, like, figured out a way to, like, make very small versions of those that look exactly the same that they can just set over it so that it'll still go in and work for the gas pump, but then the criminals get all the numbers on your magnetic strip, too. So you're supposed to, like, grab onto the part where your card's going to go in and, like, yank a little bit and make sure it feels solid.
See, it isn't, if it was just added on or if it's part of the machine. I'm sure some machines will get broken now, but it's,
sturdy.
Happened to Matt DeAndrea when we went to, Monterey trip, at a gas station, and like on the way back home, like it's
a real thing.
It's
for sure.
It's quite a process. Like,
yeah. Every time I hear about shit like that, I'm like, if you're able to pull off that kind of scam, like, get a fucking job. Like, well, you can do it. You're smart.
Well, the thing that really scares me is like when you go to Europe and you use like your credit card at a restaurant, they'll bring one of those like readers.
Oh, in Europe,
that they
they're all do chips in Europe because of
Not only
that's
how I
paid for my
pina
coladas in Amsterdam.
Yeah. They bring the thing, and the card never leaves your sight. Every restaurant you go to, that person could have a skimmer in their pocket and walking back to scan that shit, like, just steal all your info. That really worries me.
I thought about that when I worked retail. I worked with, like, some shady characters at the Sports Authority, and, like, anyone, I don't know, anytime you could, I feel like, like, why couldn't people just write down people's credit card information? Yeah, one time this kid just stole it right straight from another employee.
Call or visit LifeLock.com now to save 20%. Use promo code Adam.
Yes, and please sponsor this show. All right. Well, it looks like things are finally starting to come up, Kalen.
Well, save that for next week's update before I
let's wait till you get the car back.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, as I said,
I'm very, very slowly but steadily losing all faith in humanity.
Me too.
Yeah.
So, don't get excited.
I'm not.
Be vigilant.
I'm very.
You gotta set your foot down. Be stern. Once it's over, you'll never
make sure
see
that when you do
again.
Get their car, your car, they don't send you a bill.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen.
Well,
no way.
That's one of the last obstacles. They're not going to give them the car. They're not going to bill them. They're going to want cash in hand before they give them the car back.
Right.
So the question is, did this other guy who he hit already arrange payment, or is he going to all of a sudden ghost? And then,
or if he does, will they let me?
Do you have anything in writing, text, email, anything?
It was worked out in person.
You need to, when you get home today, you need to write down a timeline of everything. Every single interaction starting from the day of the accident. Write that down so that you have at least something to back
you. I do have proof that goes through like his phone calls that I've made to and that we've made back and forth to each other. I have whatever evidence I've told this, me getting hit on the car on multiple podcasts over the network.
Is there a police report?
Yeah, there's a police report.
Okay. Just write down every single interaction you've had, stick it away in a full in a file, and continue to write it.
Yeah.
It Judge Judy would accept that as some kind of evidence. I know that that's 100% different than the way the criminal justice system actually works.
Yeah.
But at least you've done something, and you'll have it on your side. I'm sure if there's a lawyer around, they'll tweet us if we're wrong or right.
Yeah. We should get Keon on Judge Judy. Go on, Judge Judy.
That would be, I love Judge Judy.
She get him rocks. On the high court.
You know what her autobiography is called? Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, she's like, she can afford it. She's like the highest paid person on TV now.
Yeah, she's balling out of control.
Yeah, but how about Bird?
Highest paid person
that guy's
on TV?
Making some dough.
Wow.
I mean, it's got to be like 10% of what she's making, but the bailiff?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's had a pretty great job for the past like decade, yeah. Just standing there.
Good on him.
Yeah.
This is a revelation. I knew she was doing well, but $75 million. God
syndication,
damn.
Bro.
Yeah, she's doing
When I go over to England, like a month there's like a year. CBS on their just regular Skies, what they call it, like our DirecTV. There's just Judge Judy from like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
Straight marathon. And I just sit there and watch every one of them.
Yeah,
I'm usually home by 4 p.m. every day. And I'll do my radio show during commercials of Judge Judy.
I had no idea you guys were listening to Judge Judy.
I love her, dude.
She fucking rocks.
I kind of love her now. I've never even seen an episode, but if you guys like her, yeah.
I've had windows in my life where, like, for some reason I'm home at the same time and I just watch her. Yeah, she's dope. Really? I haven't seen her for years, but.
All right. Well,
she's got to be getting along in the tooth.
Make sure you tweet Kaylin's support. Use the hashtag FreeKaylin and tweet it to @DosAngeles, as usual. All right. Now, speaking of all the law, though, man, as I said, I had a hell of a week. I was called into jury duty. Now, I was summoned. I was summoned for jury duty. What happened was I was summoned earlier this year. I postponed it. I forgot I postponed it. Then they sent me another letter saying, hey, you idiot, you forgot to come into jury duty. You have it. And then in all bold letters and caps, failure to appear on your record. And if you want to erase it, you need to come this week, which is last week. So I looked at my calendar. I can make this work. You know, people cover the shows I do. Thank you, Kaylin. Thank you, Nick. Mm-hmm. And I went, and it was terrible. It's the worst thing ever. It really is just as bad as everybody says. I've done it before, and it was equally as bad. This week, I went to downtown L.A., 7 a.m. call time. To get to the courthouse. Gary's
already lost
shaking
me.
His head.
Fuck this.
7 a.m. call time. I get there in the morning. I get there at 7 a.m., but there's about a 100-person line waiting to get in, because I guess that's when the courthouse opens. So we're just waiting in line. Everyone's like, is this the line for jury duty? Why did it tell us to come this early? And we're just waiting in line. So I finally get into the assembly room after going through the metal detector and all that stuff at about 7:45. It tells us to just sit anywhere, so it felt like the first day of school. I sit in the back because... you know, you got to scope it out, see who you want to sit next to from the back.
Yeah.
He's picking his seat.
Yeah. See, like, where's a pretty girl? Who are the cool kids? That's who I want to sit next to. You got to – it's very strategic.
Just go sit alone.
I did sit alone.
Stay away.
There weren't any cool kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, why don't they all want to sit next to me? They're probably – And so he's in the back, and a few hours go by. They say they have Wi-Fi. It's terrible, and no phone signal as well. So we're just sitting there. I didn't bring a book. I didn't bring anything to read, so I'm just watching.
Let's use the free Wi-Fi in the place where all the criminals are gathered.
Exactly, yeah. Chase Bank should have called me.
Because we know the government's so good at protecting their shit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's free Wi-Fi, no password needed, no login. Mm-hmm. And Gary, I just feel like my mental
that's
strength disappointing.
Such a good point.
Chris, that's some bullshit.
Yep. Yeah, I was so bored. And so the Wi-Fi was terrible. At about 11:45, they make an announcement. There's about 150 people in this room. We are very sorry. This is the same lady who did the orientation earlier in the day, which, by the way, was like a stand-up bit. She had a lot of jokes in there and like a lot of like applause breaks and everything. It was really weird. Just a lot of like
just playing you guys like a fiddle.
A lot of super tired people just uncomfortably clapping. Like, thank you for making this somewhat bearable. I guess she was really sweet though. But she gets on the intercom. It's one of those half doors, like the top half. So the top, she gets on the intercom where you only see the upper half of her body.
Dutch door.
What? Oh, Dutch door. Yeah, that's right. And she says, all right, before I announce this, I'm going to close this door so you don't throw any tomatoes at me. And then proceeds to slowly close the door and says, 26 of you are going to need to report to the Alhambra courthouse. They are short on jurors. And me being the guy I am, I already start packing up my stuff before they name the 26 people. Because, you know, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. Yeah, so I start packing up my stuff. And, of course, they do call my name. I go up there. I walk up there. They gave me a piece of paper with, like, with directions to the Alhambra courthouse.
And gas money.
Can you say Alhambra again?
Alhambra.
Alhambra.
Alhambra. Whatever.
Which one is it?
It's Alhambra.
Alhambra.
And so I end up driving to that courthouse and same thing, get there, just sit there, a slightly better Wi-Fi, which was nice. And
let's check in with Alhambra with the traffic.
Whole new group of criminals.
Whole new group of criminals. So, yeah, to hack into my stuff. They'll just find Instagram photos of Adam's dog. I don't know. And so I go, and they finally, it's the end of the day now. I've been sitting there since 7 a.m. At jury duty. They finally call my name. Hey, report to this courtroom. So we go. We go to the courtroom. They make us wait 30 minutes outside the courtroom before they finally let us in. They let us in. We file in there. Judge makes us raise our right hand. We take the oath. And he says, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. So it was the end of the day. So I ended up having to come back in the morning. And jury selection is the worst thing in the world. I was number 56 out of, I don't know, 70. It was a murder trial, though, which is kind of cool. And
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a part of me that kind of wanted to do it once I found it was a murder trial. But so I get in the jury selection the next day, and I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of this jury duty. I have a bomb in my back pocket.
Jesus, I feel like that's a little heavy.
Metaphorically speaking. Oh. Yeah, there we go.
His name is Mark.
His name is Mark Gergis. Because one of the questions they ask each person, they interview each person separately, in front of everybody, by the way, which is just, like, each interview is like 15 minutes long, and one of the questions was, do you know anybody in law? And I was going to drop Mark Gergis, which is what Matt Fondelier said he did, and he got dismissed right away. So they pull up everybody, and as I said, it's taken 15 minutes. And by the way, jury selection is the worst because it's so depressing. You find out everybody's shit. Like, do you know anybody who's been in domestic violence? Oh, I have. I was raped. I'm depressed. I take depression pills. I can't sleep at night. You hear everybody's issues.
But all of these issues are also potentially made up because everyone wants to get out of fucking jury duty.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's trying to get out. But, like, it's still not fun to hear,
and
the details they get into are terrible. And the lawyers are, you know, they have to just they're sucking up to each juror because they want, you know, they're already trying to get them on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Each potential juror, like, oh yeah, come, oh I'm sorry you're so depressed, oh that must be really hard on you, huh? Like they're, I don't know, they're flirting with them,
yeah,
and it was just so annoying. So I'm in the back and there's this lady next to me who just has had enough, and it's just a bunch of, oh, this is terrible. Oh, gosh, this is the worst day of my life. Like, so that's not helping. So, and we can't actually have our phone out in the courtroom, which sucked. And, yeah, so you're just hearing everybody's super depressing shit. And the lawyer's just getting, and there's one lady who said she didn't speak English. And the guy's like, she's Asian. So she had the real big Asian accent. And the lawyer says, do you see any problems while serve on this jury? And she says, oh, I'm going to do a terrible Asian.
Come on.
Yeah, what was that about to be?
This should be the one you can do.
How dare you? But it should. I don't speak English very well.
Yeah, no.
And the lawyer goes, oh, I'm very sorry, but you speak English well enough to know what I'm saying right now, right? Yeah, technically, yeah, I can. Oh, so do you see any other problems with you with you serving on this jury? And just starts shrugging her shoulders like she doesn't understand it. Like her English is progressively getting worse with each question, and I'm just dying laughing. Like, are you kidding me? Like her first attempt wasn't good enough, so it's slowly getting worse. And I'm texting Gary. I sneak out my phone to text Gary, like, oh man, they don't even know it's gonna hit them when I drop this Gargus bomb. I can't wait. And eventually, after hearing a bunch of terrible stories about people's lives that I really didn't want to hear. They found the jury about 20 people in front of me, and they just let me go at the end of the day. So
you didn't get to drop it?
Didn't even get to drop it, and I just sat there for 2 days straight. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make the resume listeners suffer with me. So
you got paid, though. $15.
I did get paid $15. So
so you're -7 on gas.
Yeah. I think they pay you gas, like, per mile. But I don't know how I submit the mileage. Or do they just do it for my mailing address?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, I got a check, so I'm stoked. And God, man, I hate jury selection. The lawyers are idiots, the jurors are idiots, and that's who's deciding this man's fate that's potentially innocent. I mean, of course I'm going to 12 Angry Men it. I love that kind of stuff. No, he looked super guilty.
You look like a young Henry Fonda.
It was a murder case, and he looks so guilty. Can I talk about this?
Sure.
Okay. The guy Gary says cool.
Gary says cool.
It was a murder. They made it right away. This is a murder trial, and like I want you to introduce you to the defendant. Blah blah blah. They said his name, and he looks super disheveled. The long hair pulled back, like looks like a crazy man in a suit, like a barely baggy
He's
suit.
He's holding a knife.
I'm already like, he did it. He gives like a weird wave to the crowd, like please be my friend.
That's the big problem with the criminal justice system, man. There's no more presumption of innocence.
All the questions were presumptions of innocence. But even
why he didn't get picked.
The defense lawyer even said, okay, so the question is whether or not he did it, but we want you to think what kind of mental I want you to base your opinion on his mental state. All right, it's not whether or not he did it, but his mental state. Like, he kept like pushing that at us.
That's what the defense is saying.
Yeah.
So he's going for an insanity plea to try to keep it off.
But an insanity plea is so fucking. And I imagine he's a public defender, or
I don't know.
Okay, not even necessarily but, insanity plea. It could change it from murder to manslaughter if it's like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or he could be looking to avoid the death penalty,
but. He's essentially, before conceding. A jury is even picked.
Yeah, he's already.
He's essentially going in and admitting to the crime.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he could know that the plaintiff has dead to rights fucking videotape or
sure.
you know,
yeah,
police
yeah, yeah.
body cam footage.
That would be
or
the
something.
Only way that's acceptable.
Yeah, but he knows what the discovery's already done, so he should know what evidence the plaintiff has. So
right.
if the guy's dead to rights, you got to start out as, yeah, okay, he did it, but.
But look at the
really?
Guy.
He opened with that.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought that was a little weird.
I feel like there is video footage of this guy committing the murder. Like, straight up, for the defense attorney to open that way, that's pretty likely.
And then the prosecuting attorney goes and proceeds to tell this terrible hypothetical, like, all right, I want you all to now remember, this is a country where we presume innocence before they're guilty, but I want you to think. And then she breaks it down so much into, like, a first grader problem. Let's say you know a kid named Billy. Okay? And
hey,
loves
Billy, swallow these too, man.
And he likes cupcakes. Now, your friend Sandra brought a cupcake to school. And now it's missing. And you look, and Billy has chocolate cupcake frosting all over his mouth.
Does this guy eat the person he murdered?
I'm like, okay, this is a metaphorical for the blood. and she says, is he guilty? And then everybody has to. And then they did the worst thing.
Probably.
Which I hate in any group setting is there always has to be like a person that raises their hand and throws in another thing like, well, I mean, what's Billy's story though? Like what? And then just tries to dig in and change the whole story with it. Like group meetings, like, or any meeting, it just halts whatever, like any proceeding of what's happening. So I'm already going out of my mind. And I really want a cupcake because this is like going for about 40 minutes. This is like a 40-minute thing with the hypothetical with Billy and Sandra and Billy stealing the cupcake. And like, okay, now let's say Billy's a little crazy. Like she did that. Like I was like, oh my God. It was I don't know. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from jury duty. I hope I never go again. So if you're listening, jury duty people, please stop picking me. Please stop selecting me. And this is the part that makes
Put
me the most
Billy
mad.
In the chair.
Oh yeah, Billy is guilty. Billy is guilty. I almost just I was like, I'll buy them both cupcakes if this could stop, please. It was so terrible. But this is the part that makes me the mad, the most angry, the angriest. I tell my friends, like, oh, yeah, I just got out of jury duty. It's 2 days of just sitting around. This, oh, God, it was hell on earth. And they say, you actually go to that? What? What do you do? Dude, I get those in the mail. It's awesome. I don't even do it. Like, yeah, or like, oh yeah,
who checks the mail?
Yeah, who checks the mail? Like, yeah, just toss them, just so you didn't see it. I've been doing it for years, like, and it's just like so mad because this is like the fourth time I've done it, and I've hated every single time.
You should find out though.
There are people who actually do that and get away with it.
You should find out from Garrigus if they can actually issue a warrant and attach something to your driver's license so that if you get pulled over, then you could really get fucked.
Yeah, organ donor.
I'll ask him tomorrow.
And especially they'll go after Chris now because he's shown up four times.
Yeah, like, he's ignoring us now.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a registered? Like, are you a resident of the state of California?
Yeah.
Or like, you would get jury duty here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was wondering like how that works if you move out of state. Like, because the last few times I've gotten it, I was in school in another state, and that always got me out of it.
I think I filed income tax here. I have a license here. I think I'm.
Yeah,
eligible.
It's like they treat it like the red light ticket. Like it's a rumor. If you don't, you don't have to. Hey, I don't know if I could risk that.
That thing's true, and I made that mistake.
Oh, really? You didn't pay it, and you got in trouble?
No. I did show up. I still never paid it, but it fucked me. But the first thing is, you just never respond like to the letter. But I responded to the first letter. Yeah,
never saw it.
And and warrants don't go out for you. It said straight from our Garrigus. Mm.
But yeah, what happens if you don't go to jury duty? What are the consequences? I mean, I said that I would get in big bold letters failure to appear. So I don't know. But my friends have been doing it, and they are fine. And they so
I feel like if people were getting arrested for not going to jury duty, we'd know about that. I've never heard of that once ever.
Me neither.
And who would be their jurors?
Yeah. Oh my God! If I was sitting,
bro, you're off scot free if you actually go to trial for that. If I'm on jury duty and the person that's on trial is on trial for not going to jury duty, I'd acquit him immediately.
I know. I know.
I'd be like, fight the power, people, brother.
Yeah, my brother.
That could easily go the other way though, where they're
just sitting
there and go, "Fuck you, man! I gotta sit here and you're dodging this shit. You're going down."
Yeah.
I don't know. It just makes me so mad. And also, they don't check ID at all. So, like, I could have just hired somebody. I could have got Dilla to go for me.
Yeah.
See? Anyway, I don't know. He probably would have.
Dylan actually
been chosen.
Told me he has a segment he wants to do where he reviews a restaurant called Ren's Menu. So
I don't know, Matt.
No, I made
it
up.
Matt's calling right now. Yes, no. I actually did bring Dylan on the show to for a segment.
I'm not participating.
I know Gary's not participating, but yesterday we had Neil deGrasse Tyson. Who,
why is Gary not participating in this?
Well, I will discuss this too, Dylan.
Why does he sound like he's in a fish tank?
Talk
into your
mic. Kalen's mic is just open.
My mic is open. Yeah.
I'm of you too. Yesterday we had Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Kroll Show, one of my favorite guests who comes in.
Mine
it's,
too.
It's
oh
a,
yeah.
It's always an Hands amazing up. Conversation, and I'm just a big fan of the guy.
Yeah. Look forward to it for weeks.
And so we're there, and Dylan did not have such high opinions of NDT, which I found surprising. Here's the thing. So Gary tells us about this. He's already chomping at the bit.
Some guffaws.
And
it's kind of his thing.
And I thought, oh, you know, it'd be kind of funny is because this is an unpopular opinion. Why don't we do a segment on the water cooler called Unpopular Opinion, where we have Dylan just talk about the stuff that he doesn't like. That's an unpopular opinion, and we could just trash, you know, just crap on it.
We can talk about the stuff he does like. I like soccer. That's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, no, there's stuff too. There's any unpopular
opinion.
That's kind
of what we do outside of the show all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And I enjoy doing it. So I tell Gary that, hey, Gary, Dylan's coming in today to do unpopular opinion. And he goes, I don't really know about that. And I thought, oh, I guess this bit isn't an unpopular opinion. And the whole bit of me doing it is an unpopular opinion. Gary just didn't want to argue on air, I guess. So Dylan came prepared, and I don't think we're going to hear it. He just doesn't like NDT, though. But don't know. What are you guffawing about?
Oh, my gosh. The whole thing is so disappointing. I don't know why you wouldn't want to debate this on air when you're so boisterous.
Well, A, if you've prepared and I wasn't fucking given adequate time to prepare, then that's unfair.
That's but fun.
If you would like to go, if you would like to go ahead and spout your asinine opinions and let me demolish you at the end, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Here's what happened yesterday, for the record. Everyone walked in and was sitting down for lunch, and Chris said, "Ah, oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson, love that guy, love that guy." Three other people around the table said, "Love that guy," and somebody said, "Who doesn't?" And I said Dylan, and I was prepared to let it go. Then Dylan got super fucking butthurt and offended and started guffawing and breathing out his mouth and, like, gesticulating with his arms and shit. And then just... And then I just stared at him after about 9 seconds of that and was like, if you would like to defend your opinion, please feel free. And then he sat down on the couch, took about 10 minutes to find a line out of the book that was very specific, and was like, what does that mean? I was just saying in general, you're not wild about Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think in general most people are.
Okay. Listen,
that was fair.
This is my first time on mic, and
no, it's
I'm really
not. I had to listen to this last week, Harlan.
This is I'm really appreciative of the opportunity. I'm not going to go at you like super hard, but that story has so many inaccuracies. It's disgusting.
True or false? I heard you make
hated Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I did not.
You projected.
Someone said, "Who doesn't like Neil deGrasse Tyson?" I said Dylan. There were three witnesses in this room that were there.
Yeah.
Did that or did that not happen, Chris?
You said Dylan, or like Dylan fucking hates Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh,
it was like,
there
one
it is.
Of the two.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Thank you. Well, like, come on. If we're going to do a fucking debate and you were there as a witness, right, don't get around.
He did mention that Dylan was not the biggest fan.
Thank
he
you.
Implied it.
Yeah. Is that inaccurate?
You said
is that inaccurate?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Is that inaccurate?
I think it is inaccurate. And then when I said, because I corrected you, there's no need to correct that statement. I needed you to calm down a little bit.
I said your name. I was perfectly calm. I was sitting on a couch eating a sandwich.
I feel like it more infuriated me because that was the first time I'd ever heard anyone in my life say anything aside from Neil deGrasse Tyson is a saint.
You said that his major role in the zeitgeist is to break down these complex problems, and I don't think he does a very good job at that. And then I said, well, hang on a little bit. And at that point, you turned to the group and said, watch him say exactly what I just said, but in different wording. And everyone laughed, and I felt humiliated.
I think we're going to need to rank Neil deGrasse Tyson on the bean scale.
I don't know.
Oh, I can do that one for
and
you.
Settle
flickable
this.
10 out of 10.
Close.
Oh.
Flickable 9.5 out of 10.
Okay. And then now Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I'll go flickable, like 7 out of 10.
What about Beakman from Beakman's World?
I don't even know who that is.
When my nephew was sick with cancer, he was in the Make-A-Wish thing, and me and my brother were talking about, wouldn't it be great if he wished for that Disneyland trip that we all hear about?
You're manipulating.
No, we didn't. We stayed completely out of it.
Even
but we did have this conversation,
conversation
that hypothetically we could go, you know, behind the scenes at the Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever, you know. We're like, that could be cool. He chose to spend a day with Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, that's dope.
Wow.
That was really cool.
Was Bill cool to him?
Totally fucking cool.
What did they do for the day?
Just a bunch of science experiments.
Science stuff. I am very disappointed that I'm going to have to leave you guys early and miss
real
the
fast
rest
before
of this.
Real fast before you leave, rank Dylan's opinion on Bill on Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Unflickable.
Oh,
it doesn't even need a number. The whole thing is just unflickable.
What about
that?
Might
be the lowest rating ever.
What about the guy on Beakman's World who dressed up like a rat?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Nick is so pleased with himself.
He saw
right
that
now.
No one got it and was like, I'm going to take another swing at this.
But I just lean a little toward Dylan's side. I feel like sometimes NDGT is explaining stuff that, like, in super obvious, and he tries to make it like he's dumbing it down for us. But, like, yesterday on the show, I love him. His voice is amazing. He's soothing. It's great conversation. But he was like, the reason a pole vaulter goes on a big pillowy surface rather than cement is because it doesn't want to compress. Like, no shit.
I pole vaulted. I can confirm this.
Yeah, you got to land on that mat. You fuck yourself up.
Everybody knows. second. Unpopular.
Everybody say bye to Kaylin.
Get your ride home from
Don't
Tom.
Worry about it.
All right. But here's what I'm saying. Fine. Cool. I have no argument with that. But you're saying the opposite of what Dylan's saying. What Dylan's saying is that he explained... what I'm saying is I believe Neil deGrasse Tyson does a good job of explaining very complex astrophysics ideas and theories in a way that is easy to understand. Yes, sometimes he does it repeatedly in ways that are very no shit, but he does break down things that I wouldn't otherwise understand into a way that I can digest them while I'm driving in my car and just listening casually. Dylan argues that sometimes his explanation – I believe – I'm not putting words in your mouth. Feel free to refute this if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I believe Dylan was saying to me, or I overheard him say a couple times in the days leading up to this lunch incident that we're referring to, that Neil deGrasse Tyson just gets too deep into the woods and explains things in a way that is too complicated and not understandable. And I fundamentally disagree with that.
I think breaking down – astrophysics and quantum mechanics to layman's terms is inherently a fool's errand.
Does that mean no one should try?
I'm saying you're wrong. There's no way to break it down in a digestible manner. I could read stuff from the book Astrophysics in a Hurry for people in a hurry, but I'm not going to.
All right. And that was unpopular opinion.
You're way less fervent than you
this.
Were.
You don't need to brand this because it's not going to happen.
It's unflippable.
By your assertion, you're saying that Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, it almost sounds like you're implying that Neil deGrasse Tyson has not been successful in teaching people who are not astrophysicists things about astrophysics. Is that true?
I'm saying that he's overrated, and I'm sick and tired of him trying to talk to people about Schrodinger's cat, and they just act like they understand it for a half an hour, and we talk about trillions and trillions and trillionths, and nobody understands what the fuck is going on. He's overrated. I apologize for this entire thing.
I don't know, that was unpopular opinion.
But it's not fair because you were so much more fervent yesterday, and now you're all cool, chill back, fucking...
In Dylan's defense or on his side...
Are my points any different,
There is a level of the cult of personality that elevates Neil deGrasse Tyson to a much higher... status, you could say, than maybe it is cool to think
he's cool.
I like the guy because he's nice, he's smart, and he's not afraid to talk.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Always pleasant when he comes in.
All right, we can all agree on that.
He loves the habit.
And that was unpopular opinion. Nice, I got it in. Speaking of...
Well, that was one and done.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, Ren, what's on the menu?
Thank you guys so much for that opportunity.
Oh, no. Love having you on, Harlan. And now for our next segment, we're bringing back a very popular one. Nick explains The Bachelor, who doesn't know.
Bachelorette, coming back.
No,
first Black Bachelorette.
Since
Kaylin's
gone.
It's Kaylin's gone.
Really?
Old
really?
Man in the seat. Yeah. He's the one. So
are they going to go heavy on the brothers? Or are they going to split it 50-50? What are they going to do?
Throw in an Asian dude?
They gave us a little tease
at the end of Kimmel, and it was 2 out of 3 brothers of the tease.
Okay, so they're going to go 60%.
So what are you doing, taking swings?
They should. I mean, this
is unpopular opinion.
I think they would probably get hit with a lot of racist liability if they had more white people.
And she did say when Nick Vale was the Bachelor.
Racist liability.
He was white. She said that was the first white guy.
I don't think it's insurable. It's definitely a liability, though.
Hey, did you know that one of the chicks on Real Housewives of New York is Steven Tyler?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Gear showed me a picture. He said, "Who is this?" And I said, "Steven Tyler."
I only watch Orange County.
Well, Dawson, you need to Google this because it is disturbing.
You know, and while you're googling that, I'm gonna help everybody else out.
Weird that the guy who wrote "Dude looks like a lady" now looks like a lady.
No, this lady.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
It's autobiographical. A song from his heart. Also, I just want to remind everybody, since Kaylin's gone, it got me thinking, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? No? Try ZipRecruiter. That's right. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to over 100 job sites, including social media networks such as Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. So easy to find anybody you want to hire now. Just with ZipRecruiter, just one click, and it just spreads out. Shotgun blast to all the amazing places. And if you want to find your Steven Tyler lookalike, check out ZipRecruiter. Yeah, just put the call out there. And to find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. Right now, you guys can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. That's right, interview is the code. ZipRecruiter.com/interview. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/interview. Please just go to that website and click it and just look, take a look around.
That's got
to
be because on ZipRecruiter you post your resume. So if it's slash resume, it's got to go to a page they already had set up, right?
It has to be. I don't know. Just go to interview.
Slash interview.
I bet that's the case.
ZipRecruiter.com/interview. Interview. That easy, guys.
All right, That's it for this episode of Interview.
it is not. Couple more things. First off, McClure's Pickles has contacted me.
Mm-hmm. They contacted us.
Contacted
sir.
Us. So they want in. So we're trying to schedule a call, and we're going to talk.
They want
pickles.
In. I want pickles.
You hear that, McClure's? We hear you.
If you want in,
do you hear us?
Bring the pickles.
Bring the pickles.
Gary did make me laugh when they asked if we had talking points. He's like, you should just tell them pickles.
Yeah.
Just pickles.
You know what I do with my McClure's pickles? Is I get the whole kosher dills. I want to make a tuna sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
I cut it up into real big chunks of kosher dill pickle.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes a tuna sandwich taste so much better.
Matt's calling again. He's pissed.
That's worth
stop talking,
that
sounds,
my, that's my, worth a McClure's. That's worth a case of pickles. Watering.
I have had one McClure's pickle in my entire life.
Get the address at curseloxamana.com.
No, just bring them with you.
Just bring them with you. Now, the other day, Corolla Drinks went to Long Beach Hooters, and we judged a bikini contest. It was a blast. But the best part was that there was a dance party, which is really nice. After the contest, these guys, or actually while we were waiting for the results, there's a DJ there just blasting the music.
So loud.
Yeah, and this table of dudes, because, I mean, there are a lot of dudes in the audience, sure, it's a bikini contest, they just start dancing in the middle of the restaurant.
Oh, God.
They just start dancing, and everyone's going nuts. Oh, my God.
Now they're just
guys.
Encouraging that.
They were pretty talented fellas.
Noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the DJ noise.
Yeah, what's wrong with classic rock?
I think there was some classic rock with some techno beats behind it.
Right.
I did hear.
Yeah, everything here sped up.
That's what's wrong with it. It doesn't have a techno beat.
Oh, yeah. They put techno beats like under Living on a Prayer. There was a four on the floor kick drum.
It's not classic rock, but Justin Timberlake, they put a techno beat to Can't Stop the Feeling. That's like the happiest, fast up beat song.
I'm not a
Ronnie
fan of that.
Van Zant used to play on stage barefoot. Why? So we could feel the music going up through his legs. If we all wanted that, we could just take our fucking shoes off. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Is that why ladies do that?
They might.
No, they do that so they don't break their ankles.
Yeah. And so there's people dancing, and I'm watching these guys dance. They're really good. Everyone's having a good time watching them dance. And I look in the wings, and there's Mr. Nick Davis just waiting. He's waiting on the sides. He's like, oh, these guys are dancing.
He's about to pounce.
And I'm not dancing. What's going on? There's something wrong here, right? Everybody's watching these guys dance and cheering them on, and I'm not in it. what's happening?
They were good, too. I was a little intimidated.
Yeah, so he's just waiting for his opening. Like just waiting. When can I jump in here? Like double dutch or like or the windmill in miniature golf. Just like, when's the right time for me to just jump in? And he goes for it. He jumps in and he starts doing his moves.
Some classics.
The classics. The shoulders. The the car outside of the car dealership. The little rubber thing that D does on It's Always Sunny. He does that really well. He's doing it all. And Nick has moves. But at the same time, this is all going on. There's a little battle. And this one guy is battling another guy, and he does the jump in the air to the splits, like, you know, where he, and then comes and then pops back up, the classic, I don't know, b-boy move. I don't know what it is, but it's fun to watch. And it's Gary, what?
I'm just loving listening to this explanation.
Yeah,
keep going.
So he does it, and everyone's going nuts. Oh my God, that was it. That was the finisher. It's done. Drop the mic. He's out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's not done. Nick is thinking, not only will I copy this guy's move, but I shall do it better. And so Nick's going now. It's Nick's turn. He's going. And he goes, and now you could see in his eyes, oh, he's going to do it. Oh, my God, he's going to do it. And he goes, and he jumps. Both legs split in the air, and it's like slow motion. Oh, my God, he's going for it. He's not going to. Yeah, there he goes. He's going for it. And goes and attempts to do the split and whoops, stops about like 9 inches, his crotch from the ground. Like he gets jammed up and a collective ooh, like it goes around the whole restaurant. But that doesn't stop Nick, who's now full of adrenaline. He pushes himself up, and he's just still dancing. He's like
it felt pretty good. It felt, I mean, like it just felt like I had the capability. It wasn't perfect the way I landed, yeah. But
like he didn't even face him. Now everyone's thinking, "All right, where's the attempt? All right, thank you, Nick. Thank you for that. We appreciate it." And so, if you don't mind, just please go. Oh no, he's back in the air again. He's going for it again. 10 seconds later, he wants it. He wants it. It's like I watch a lot of skateboarding competitions. When time runs out, they still want to get that trick. They want to do it for the, now. So this one's for the crowd.
The 900. They got the boards on the coping.
Ding, yeah. Ding, ding. This one's for the audience. And Nick goes again. Psh, stops again, but a little lower. He went a little deeper, about 7 inches now from the ground. Pops himself back up. And what's interesting, the difference between his and the other guys is Nick went full splits. He didn't break the leg. He didn't break the knee. He went full Jean-Claude Van Damme, like complete 180.
Not semis Jean-Claude, like
JCVD.
JCVD, yeah, vertical. I guess, I don't know, it's not really vertical.
North-south.
And then, yeah, so he's gone, and he whispers in my ear right after that, I would have ripped my groin.
Like, I was willing to.
He was willing to. He was willing to rip his groin for that move, because you do it for the people.
Mm-hmm.
You do it for the people, and Nick, he does it for the people.
Yeah, it was downtime. We were waiting for those results. You got to keep the energy up.
The energy was
Corolla Drinks there. Was there. Yeah. To
and the guy.
Well, by all means, let's injure one of the three employees we have.
and the guy who did it right before Nick. Came to Nick, gave him props, said, dude, you got to break the knee, though. You got to break the knee. You got to bend it a little bit.
And I was like, I'll die first.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick went full, like, MMA style. And I don't know. It's just, I have a whole newfound respect for Nick for attempting twice. It was the cool runnings. Walk your bobsled back to the finish line. Like, it's just, like you just go for it. I don't care how I get there. I'm gonna make it happen. So if you see Nick at a dance party, be careful, because he is going – he won't let you go away easy. But anyways, yeah, that's my anecdote about Nick.
So Nick's like the Jamaican bobsled team who loses horribly?
Hey, it's the only movie that's made me cry, all right? It really is when the dad rips open his shirt to show that he's all for it now after he was telling his son, this is a waste of time. Rips open his jacket, Team Jamaica. How could you not? Do you not?
I don't know. That guy's kind of an asshole.
Are you not feeling the rhythm, feeling the ride? You're not getting on up? Bobsled.
I certainly have no problem with fucking Cool Runnings. It's an excellent film.
Excellent film. Cinema.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, I didn't even say movie or film. Cinema.
Cinematic treasure.
Yeah, cinematic treasure. That's all it is. All right, a couple of announcements before we get out of here. Resume, the main show of the sideshow.
I thought it was called Interview.
Yeah. Well, I do interview. I interview Jackie Cation, comedian. Michael Harney, he's in Orange is the New Black. And Joe Sib, also a comedian and co-founder of Side One Dummy Records, which I'm a huge fan of. Also, if you go to CorollaDrinks.com, use a promo code LOXI, LAXI, you get 25% off your entire order with only $10 flat shipping. So you can order a million bottles. It'll cost you $10. So you should just do it for the novelty of that, right? Order all, and you get 25% off, $10 flat shipping. I want to thank all you listeners for tuning in, and thank you guys for being here. I always love hanging out. And Joe King, thanks for the review. One more thing before we get out of here. It's real quick. I got an email from a listener the other day, and I'll show it real quick to you. If you want to write in, just go to chrisloxamon.com, click the contact page. Hey, guys, so I'm a stay-at-home dad, but I also substitute teach. I'm guessing he meant occasionally, but it's not even close to that.
That's what substitute teach means.
Yeah.
It's kind of implied that it's occasional.
Yeah. Well, okay, what is this? It's OCCADIIBALL.
Occasionally.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope you don't teach English.
I think it says occasional.
Yeah. Oh, okay. A few weeks ago, I was at a school, and they were playing the circle finger game, where you get punched if you look at it.
Yeah.
I told them how you and your friends...
Be below the waist, though.
Yeah, below the waist. I told them how you and your friends played that game, which is, just a reminder, the way we play is you don't get socked. You just have to lie down. If you get caught looking, you lie down on the floor wherever you are for 5 seconds.
I like that.
So, well, I'm back at the school today, and there are kids laying on the floor all over. Apparently, they really liked your version, and it swept over the whole school. I'm a little nervous about it getting back to me that I told them about it, but it's still better than them hitting each other, I guess. Either way, I figured you'd enjoy this, and it may become your legacy.
I've been enjoying that for 5 days since you read that email to me. That is delightful.
I didn't hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, and by the way, not that you care, but just so you know him, I am @_Joe_you on Twitter, the guy with the Space Jam picture.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
And then he wants to stay under the cover for, he doesn't want this game to get back to him.
Yeah.
As Twitter is.
Well, thanks for writing, Joseph. And his email and address are now. But yeah, thanks, Joe, for listening and for spreading the news. I don't want to become my legacy. That's just me and my friends.
Don't start barking at the kids at school. That's not going to go well.
You don't know, will it? You don't think so? It just means respect.
I don't see how this could go wrong for you. Yeah. You're a hero.
Play with your friends. Why don't we play here, guys? You guys want to play here? You guys in?
I'm not going to lie on the ground.
Okay, Nick's nodding no.
I'll play the punching one.
I don't want to play the punching one.
You ended violence in that school. That's amazing.
I did. They should change it to the Bobo Boys School of Arts.
They should bring the circle game to the Middle East. Solve everything.
Oh, it would solve everything. So anyways, before we get out of here, I always like to get our plugs and suggestions, anything where you think we should go. And I'm going to start this week with Gary, since Cam told us not to worry about him.
Come back to me, please.
All right. That is
I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. Nick, where could we go for you?
Another Housewives podcast. We just had a very, very special guest on the episode that will be up the same day that you're hearing this. Lynette Carolla joined us, and it was a really fun romp through hashtag Roni. And also listen to this podcast called Infinite Abyss. I used to do the MMA sesh with Jay Miller's probably future father-in-law. He owns an MMA gym. They're old school Boston.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah. they're old school Boston guys that, like, they've been around the sport forever, but they're also, like, really intelligent, and they're fucking all maniacs. Like,
I trust you. If you're cool with them, and you're like, to me, you're a maniac, like, with that kind of stuff. Like, in the nicest way. Like, you're just really into it.
But so, I don't even mean maniacs as in the sport. These guys are just, like, nuts. Like,
oh, they're just crazy.
They're maniacs. Just.
Yeah.
There's, like, civilians, and then there's these guys.
Oh, look at who's here!
Matt Fondelier just walked in once
is
again
while
we're doing the plug.
Hey, Fondelier, what's up?
Dylan, turn on Brian's mics, please. Is the board on, Matt?
I can see the lights.
How you doing, Matt?
Oh, don't wait for me, guys.
Oh.
Hello.
No, it's not, yeah.
Test 1-2.
Apparently not on.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'll just sit here and watch. Okay.
We're
getting our plugs in. Matt, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, listen now to the water cooler every week.
But it's without you. You got to be in whatever you're plugging, right? he's all right.
Dylan, don't.
Don't worry about Dylan.
Don't.
Try it now.
Pushing the board.
Dawson's freaking out. He's like, nah, I'm not freaking out.
Go ahead, try it now, Matt.
Nah, it's good. I'm enjoying watching you guys.
Hey, there he is.
Infinite Abyss is the name of that with Tom Capers.
What were we talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
Podcast, Infinite Abyss. These guys, it's kind of like, if you like Fight Companion, they have a similar vibe. Like, they have an Eddie Bravo character who, like, doesn't believe in moon landings, or he thinks the Earth is flat, but the other guys are really smart.
Thanks. I feel bad Nick was trying to get his plug in, and Matt walks in and is like, hey, Matt! Forget Nick. No, Infinite Abyss. Infinite Abyss and Housewives. AHB.
Yeah.
All right, Doss, where could we go for you?
Live in Los Angeles 3 is now available
in
streaming
at DossAngeles.com.
So am I.
DossAngeles.com.
We should all go to
DossAngeles. And follow me on Twitter at DossAngeles, because what I'm going to do is I will give you an address to send a check for at least $10 to Children's Hospital, along with a self-addressed, CD-sized, stamped envelope. Allow a month for delivery, and I will give you a CD as long as you make a donation to Children's Hospital for at least $10.
That's the greatest deal. Thank you, Dawson. That's right. So
and Dylan,
find out more on Twitter.
Put the board exactly back to where it was before.
Hey, cool, no problem, man.
Thank you,
Dylan. We're good. Go for you.
All those things Nick said.
All right.
And then, can I? Am I allowed to say my? Okay.
That was what he asked originally, but you wasted that opportunity.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Sorry, next time, man. Dawson, live in Dawson Angels 3. Get it. Just go to follow him on Twitter. Donate to Children's Hospital. And, it's a win. Also, Dawson and I will be playing in Long Beach June 17th at D Piazza's. So please good come times. Out to that. Comedy, music, fun, drinks. Good what time show we had. June 17th.
Nice.
Yeah, Deep House in Long Beach, Loxy, and Mike Dawson and the Smoking Kills.
We'll also be playing at Jones Fest June 10th in Sandy Inez.
Yep. Oh, we'll be everywhere. Yeah, Dawson and I are going on a little mini tour. And also, as part of the Loxy tour, we'll be playing in Fresno at Sequoia Brewing Company June 22nd. And of course, Seattle at the Bar Crawl at Showbox Soda Lounge June 24th. Tickets info at CorollaDrinks.com.
The showboxes are big shit, man.
Yeah?
That's going to be a good gig.
I've never heard of it.
And Rad Power Bikes raffling off a bike for us at the Bar Crawl.
Ooh.
So if you buy a ticket, 1 in 100 chance of winning a $2,000 bike.
The Bar Crawl will sell out, so please get your tickets ASAP. And that is it. Thank you so much for tuning in to Resume. Gary has
and then if you have any like leftover pet supplies or food or medicine or stuff, there's a... Homeless Companions is a charity that I know someone who's working with, and it's at Mary's Kitchen in Orange on Saturday mornings, and it's for homeless people who have pets to get like pet supplies and like groom, you know, food and cleaning supplies and stuff like that. So if you have anything left over, go over there and donate it.
And I'm sorry, so it's Mary's
Kitchen in Orange.
Mary's Kitchen in Orange
soup kitchen, and they set up a little dog thing out there.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
All right, there you go, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Resume. / water cooler. This is actually the water cooler. Sideshow Resume.
/interview.
ZipRecruiter.com/interview. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.